excited about sharing the word for a few moments today. I'm not going to be a long time. I know you have a lot planned today, and your family time is so very important this Christmas season. But this has been a beautiful day with Christmas traditions and of course communion and our Christmas message, and then candlelight here in just a few moments. And not only all of that, but we're going to do Christmas baptisms here in just a little while at the conclusion of this service. We already have a few that have signed up and said, you know what, I want to be baptized today on Christmas Eve. You may be here today and you're thinking about it. Maybe you have felt the Lord drawing you toward your next step. Today is a wonderful, wonderful day to be baptized. You say, well, I didn't bring my stuff. You know what? We have stuff for you. We have shorts in various sizes that you can wear, t-shirts that are dark. You can put that on. We would love to baptize you today, and we'll give you more information about that in just a few moments. Luke chapter 2 today, beginning at verse number 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. I want to read the Christmas story this morning. This is several verses in length. I was trying to extrapolate just a few verses out of this to use to teach what I feel like the Lord wanted me to share on this Christmas Eve. But the story is so beautiful, I figured you would allow me to read the entire Christmas story, beginning at verse number 1, chapter 2, the book of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. It's the story of Jesus' birth. You're going to find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I want to talk to you this morning about why the manger matters. Why the manger matters. Of course, we have the benefit of hindsight this Christmas Eve. We see so many things when we read through those 20 verses of Scripture. So many things jump out at us because they are familiar to us. We have heard this story at least annually for the last number of years in our lives. We've heard preachers and teachers and Sunday school teachers teach to us the beautiful Christmas story, and it is amazing. I hope that you aren't tired of hearing it. I pray that something fresh is illuminated to you as you hear the word today. But we have this benefit of hindsight, and the details stand out. But can you imagine living this? And I don't know if you saw yourself in that scene or met yourself in that moment as we read today. I mean, what would it have felt like? What would it have been like to be living in that kind of chaos, the stress, the struggle, the strain that they are experiencing? It's overwhelming. I can't identify necessarily, but I guess on some level, the chaos at Christmas time. We are, of course, packing at home to move here later this week, and so this Christmas has been a big, big mess. Our house is literally flipped upside down. There are boxes everywhere. I have made at least 10 trips the last 2 or 3 days to our local Goodwill, either the truck completely packed or my car completely packed with bags full of things that we're donating, things that we are giving away. We seem to have saved every burp rag, every little sleep onesie. We've saved everything from when our kids, I think we got a couple of dirty diapers we saved. I'm not sure about it all. We seem to have saved everything, and now we have to figure out what to do with this. I refuse to move our junk to Georgia. Refuse to move our trash here to this beautiful state. So we're going through and trying to declutter, trying to pack boxes, trying to decide what goes and what stays, and it is a bit overwhelming. It's overwhelming. I would imagine this is how Joseph and Mary felt, because Caesar Augustus decrees a census. Everyone has to go to the town, the city of their birth, and they have to be registered there. You can't mail this in. You can't get online and register. No, you have to show up in person. There is not a more inconvenient time. There is not a worse day that this decree could come about for Joseph and Mary, because Mary is great with child. What are they going to do? There's nothing for us to do. We want to be obedient to the law, so we're going to pack our bags and we're going to take this journey. There was nothing easy about it, because again, they're not traveling in the comfort of a vehicle. They're traveling by way of donkey. They're traveling by way of horse. They're traveling by way of crude little horse-drawn, donkey-drawn, little wooden, at best, a little shelving type of a thing for Mary, this woman who is well into her third trimester, this woman who is at the point of giving birth. There is nothing convenient nor comfortable about this. It caused me to realize this week that timing is a curious thing. We feel it often. We feel the thread of time often. We need one thing to happen, but another gets in the way. We feel like we know what is next, but things change, and then suddenly we are caught off guard. I don't know about you, if you identify this Christmas Eve, but you have your plan set. Maybe you're a goal-oriented person. Maybe you have already started writing your resolutions for the new year. You make a plan. You make a list. You check it twice. You're trying to make sure that all of the T's are crossed and all of the I's are dotted, but then time happens. Then something comes unexpected. Then something is announced. A letter arrives. The phone rings. A family member stops by, and things all of a sudden are not what we thought they would be. It makes me wonder, was everything right or was everything wrong about the timing? I mean, you can't deny that Mary and Joseph know what is happening. If anyone knows, they know what is happening. They may still be freaked out by it, but they absolutely know what is happening. Here, Mary is engaged and expecting, but it ain't his. It's his. This is an odd scenario. This is an odd thing. They're the talk of the town. They are the talk of the community. And Mary has kept all of these things in her heart. The angel has come and explained things. The angel has come and told her all that is happening. But they're not exactly able to send out an announcement. They're not able to send out an invitation to a wedding that will happen at some point. But first, we have to have the baby. No, things are happening opposite of how they are supposed to happen. Oh, they absolutely knew. Can I take you back to Luke, the first chapter and the 26th verse? Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. All of that is real fancy King James for saying, "Hey, I don't know what you're doing here, and nothing that you're saying to me makes sense. I don't know what it is that you are trying to tell me." But he goes on, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." She knew. She knew exactly what was happening. And you would think that knowing this, knowing what is coming, knowing that you are expecting with purpose, knowing that you are expecting not Joseph's child, but the Holy Spirit's child, the knowing that all of this was happening, you would think that they would have made some preparations. You have purpose growing inside of you. Your miracle is closer than it's ever been before. You'd think they would be getting ready. No, they're not getting ready at all. They don't even have a reservation. They haven't even made arrangements for this baby to have a proper place to be born. They haven't prepared, it would seem. It causes me to reflect in my own life. How do I handle the purpose? How do I handle the miracle that is growing inside of me? How am I handling the next thing that God wants to do in me? Am I prepared? Am I preparing? Let me ask you today, how is it that you are preparing for what God is up to in your life? How is it that you are getting ready for the next thing that God wants to do? Let me ask this church today, as a collective body, the church at Covington, how are we preparing for the miracle that God is sending us? How are we handling the thing that is in the womb of this church? We're expecting something. Something is growing. Something is happening. I believe this house is going to give birth to many souls in 2018. I believe this house is going to be a bastion of God's presence in 2018. But are we prepared right now for what God wants to do? They don't even have a room. Joseph tried getting into the local hotel, but there was no vacancy. No, everyone is traveling for the same purpose. Everyone is trying to get there for the same reason. It's census time. The hotels are overflowing. The streets are bustling. Joseph is feeling incredible pressure. My girl is ready to give birth, and I failed. I was not man enough. I did not prepare enough. I was not ready for what was about to happen to my little family. And yet Joseph has no idea that he's fulfilling prophecy. No idea that Joseph is right where God wants him to be. I'm trying to stay real proper in the Christmas story today, but I feel like I need to tell someone in this house that you, our first-time guest, you, our long-time member, you are closer, and you don't even realize how close you are to where God wants you. It's hard to fathom. The angels would tell the shepherds, you will find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes. Where? He's going to be lying in a manger. This could not be fulfilled if there would have been a vacancy, a room in the inn. This would not have come to pass correctly had the innkeeper said, you know what, let me move someone out so that I can put your expecting soon to deliver wife in a proper room. No, the angels had come with a message. This is how you're going to know that he is the Christ. This is what will be the sign, the signal, the proof that this is the one that you are looking for. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So why did the manger matter? Why was the manger so important? Because, you know, we're cursing our circumstances. We're upset about the way things have transpired in our lives, and yet we are in the exact right place, the exact coordinates of God's plan for our lives. So why did the manger matter? He could have been born anywhere, any place, on any day, but his timing ordered this exact scene. The scene. We've got it beautifully arranged here. It's depicted over there in the nativity beneath the cross. The poinsettias, everything is so lovely and well appointed here at the church. But can I tell you that Christmas day looked nothing like this one? I would imagine you've decorated your home. You may have one tree. You may have 10 trees. You may have garland. How many have mistletoe? Come on, somebody, be bold. All right, I see you, mistletoe people. Y'all are freaky. Hallelujah. Your home is beautiful, but that birthplace was not beautiful. It was a stable. It was a stall. It was dirty. It was messy. It was filthy. There was nothing pleasant there to smell. There was nothing there that was attractive. There were animals around along with their stink. So why would he be born there? Why would he be born in this place? Why would he choose? He could have orchestrated anything. He could have said anything. He could have established anything. Another angel could have come and told the innkeeper, hey, you're going to have an expectant woman come walking into the room, and this is going to be your sign. She's going to have a large belly. You are supposed to give her a room. But that's not the way it happened. Because he wanted to be born in a manger. You know why? He wanted to be born there because every time he would be born in someone's heart, it would look, smell, and be just like that manger. That's why the manger matters. I don't want the presidential suite. I don't want a clean room at the end. I checked into a hotel last night. First thing I did, I've stayed in thousands. Always, I'm looking, checking that bathroom, making sure it's clean, making sure those sheets appear as though they've been washed, making sure the floor has been vacuumed. I want to check into a clean hotel room. Jesus comes into a heart that isn't messy, that isn't dirty. Something's not right here. I move into hearts that are dirty and filthy. And yeah, that's right. The sin that we've committed, they've created a mess. Our lives have created a mess, but guess what? He's comfortable being born in such a place. Doesn't scare him. Your wrong choices don't scare him. Your bad decisions don't scare him. What you've done, what you've said, it doesn't make him want to run away. Why? Because he was born first in such a place that he said, I can do this. I can be born here. And then we'll start rebuilding this life. We'll start cleaning up this life. We'll start turning this heart around. We'll start tidying things up, moving and working and blessing and making a way in their life. Hey, stop thinking you're too much a mess or that your sin is too much to forgive. It's not, because Jesus is familiar with a mess. That's why I need to allow him to be born in my heart. Father, I pray today for people in this room. On this Christmas Eve morning, as we prepare for family time and friends and Christmas dinners and presence under the tree, I wish each of us could pause long enough, just a little while, to make sure that you have been born in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm wondering if there's someone in this room today who would say, Pastor Darrell, I want Jesus to be born in my heart. I guess I was thinking I had to get this thing cleaned up. I had to stop doing this or get unaddicted to that or get free of this over here before Jesus would want anything to do with me. But if I hear the message correctly, Jesus he's okay being born into the mess that I've got in my life. He's not going to leave me that way, and I'm so grateful. But he'll be born in a manger, in a mess. If you're here today and you would like for Jesus to be born in your heart, just slip your hand up. It's personal between you and the Lord, but I'd love for you just to acknowledge. I'm here today and I want Jesus to touch my life. I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want Jesus to do his work in my life. I want the entire church to pray this with me today because it's someone's miracle, someone's healing, it's someone's help today. Just say, Jesus, I want you to be born in my heart. It's a mess. It's broken. It's cluttered. Sometimes it stinks. It's just a manger. I want you to live here. I want you to save me. I want you to help me. I give my life to you. I acknowledge there is no one beside you. It is you I want to serve. And from this day forward, I will follow you. Receive me now. In Jesus' name, amen.